بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. أبو ذر غفاري رضي الله تعالى عنه reports that the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, by Allah, if you knew what I know, you would laugh less and cry more, and you would cease to enjoy the company of women on beds, and would set out to deserted lands beseeching Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam observed what other ordinary human beings could not and cannot observe. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was able to observe the malaika descending, ascending. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was able to observe and see malaika in their original form. Jibreel alayhi salatu was salam used to visit our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam in human form. Umm Salama radiyallahu ta'ala anha says that one day Dihya al-Kalbi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he came to visit our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And when he left, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam asked me as to whether I knew who had visited him. So she said, yes, it was Dihya al-Kalbi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, the well-known companion. He was very handsome, Dihya al-Kalbi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Hazrat Umm Salama radiyallahu ta'ala anha says that this is what I had actually thought, that it was Dihya al-Kalbi radiyallahu anhu who had come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and who was in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he communicated with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding certain issues, and then he left. He said, after a while Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whilst in the state of wudu, left for the masjid and he gave a khutbah. And in that khutbah he mentioned that Jibreel alayhi salatu was salam visited me moments ago, and this is the message that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has passed on to me through Jibreel alayhi salam. Umm Salama radiyallahu ta'ala anha says that it is when I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say this, I realized that it was not Dihya al-Kalbi radiyallahu anhu, it was Jibreel alayhi salatu was salam who had taken the form of Dihya al-Kalbi radiyallahu anhu and visited Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam would many a times come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in human form. Majority of the times in the form of the Hiya al-Kalbi radiyallahu anhu, and sometimes he would adopt another form, but in human form. In the hadith of Jibreel narrated by Umar radiyallahu anhu, we find Umar radiyallahu anhu saying, Bainama nahnu julusun inda Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, istala alayna rajulun shadidu bayadi thiyab wa shadidu sawadi shaar, la yura alayhi atharu safar wa la ya'rifuhu minna ahad. Whilst we were sat in the company of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, when suddenly a person came and he was wearing bright white clothes, the hair on his face and the hair on his head were very dark, and we could not see any signs of journey upon him. Because in those days when a person would travel from one place to the other, his hair would become disheveled, his clothes would become dirty as a result of sweating, as a result of dust. So there were no signs of journey upon him. وَلَا يَعْرِفُهُ مِنَّا أَحَدٌ, and no one knew him from amongst us, the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in. So everybody knew Dihiya al-Kalbi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. So in this instance, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came to visit our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam in human form. But he did not take the form of Dihiya al-Kalbi radiyallahu anhu. And three times Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam saw Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam in his original form. In the riwayah of Bukhari Sharif we find that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam in his original form once, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said he was sitting on a chair between the heavens and the earth. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would observe the malaika descending, ascending. He would observe the malaika in their original form. He would observe the punishment in the grave. He would hear the punishment of the grave. So he would observe and he would hear that which other ordinary human beings were unable to observe and unable to hear. The Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in narrate that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam one day passed by two graves. Anna Nabiya sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam marra bi qabarain. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed by two graves. Now the only thing that the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in could observe were two graves. They could not see anything else and they could not hear anything. Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stopped at the graves and he looked at the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in and he said, Innahuma yu'adzaban. They are being punished. Now, either Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam observed the punishment, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removed the veil between Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and those being punished in the grave, or he was unable to observe because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not remove the veils, but he was able to hear. إِنَّهُمَا يُعَذَّبَانِ, they are being punished. In another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, after the performance of janazah, or in the case of a non-Muslim without janazah, salat, when the deceased, when the mayyat is carried towards the grave, then if the deceased is someone who had not obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during her life, then this mayyat, this dead person, this deceased person cries out very loudly. And it says, where are you taking me? Where are you taking me? Meaning, don't take me towards the grave, because for me, that is the place of punishment. It sobs, it cries, it weeps, it screams, and it says, don't take me. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said that except for the jinn and the ins, except for the jinns and the humans, all the other creatures are able to hear the weeping and the crying and the wailing of this dead person. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that it is so frightening that if the humans were able to hear the screaming and this wailing of the mayyat, they would all become unconscious. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens the veil between a person and the unseen whenever he desires. For Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam, it is very frequent. Because Nabi is that person who gives us the information of the unseen. Nabi means the informer. Nabi means the informer. So he gives the information, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through his qudra grants the Nabi the ability to see what other ordinary humans cannot see, or hear what other ordinary humans cannot hear. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends the angel in either original form or in human form with information, wahy. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspires the Nabi directly with a message. And thereafter the Nabi informs the Ummah. Nabi informs the humans. So basically, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala communicates with the human beings through a Nabi. Once Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu and Umar Farooq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, they went to visit Umme Ayman radiyallahu ta'ala anha. Umme Ayman radiyallahu ta'ala anha looked after our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his childhood. And our beautiful religion teaches us to remain in contact with those people who had favored those who are near and dear to us. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us to be kind, to be good, to maintain ties, to maintain contact with those people who are close to our near and dear ones. Friend of our father, friend of our mother, friend of our brother, friend of our wife, friend of our husband. Whenever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would slaughter an animal, he would make a list of the friends of Khadija radiyallahu ta'ala anha. And he would make sure that he would send a portion from that meat to each of the friends of Khadija radiyallahu ta'ala anha. After the demise of Khadija radiyallahu ta'ala anha. Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma once gifted, he gave as gift a donkey to a friend of his father Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. A donkey. Donkey is like a motorbike in our times. Or even a good car. Horse was the best. Camel, then donkey, then mule. So donkey is like a car, gifting somebody a car. So he gave a donkey to a friend of his father Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. So somebody said, you have given him a donkey in gift? He said, yes, this is the instruction of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that a person should be kind to the friend of his father. So Umm Ayman radiyallahu ta'ala anha looked after our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Abu Bakr and Umar radiyallahu anhuma was very close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So following this advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this ta'aleem of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they would now and then visit Umm Ayman radiyallahu ta'ala anha. So they visited Umm Ayman radiyallahu ta'ala anha. When they visited Umm Ayman radiyallahu anha, their presence brought back the memories. And she began weeping. She began weeping, remembering Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Her weeping brought Abu Bakr and Umar to tears also. فَهَيَّجَتْهُمَا عَلَى الْبُكَى. They also began weeping and crying. Now, when she started weeping, they said, why are you crying? So she said, I am remembering Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is very fortunate. He is in the company of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no need to cry over Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's fate. He is very lucky. He is in the company of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So she said, no, I am not crying because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi Wasallam has left us and I don't know in what condition he is. She said that I am crying because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used to communicate with us through him. And now that he is no more, we are deprived of this communication of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when she said this, they also began weeping. فَهَيَجَدْهُمَا عَلَى الْبُكَى. So Nabi, the word Nabi means informer. The literal meaning of Nabi. Naba'a yamba'u, to inform. Amba'a yumbe'u, to inform. Nabi, he informs. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives knowledge to the Nabi and then Nabi passes that knowledge to the Ummah. So what he is able to see, what he is able to hear, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through his qudra, He gives Nabi the opportunity to see so many things. Once he was performing Salah. Whilst performing Salah, the Sahaba Rizwanullah Ta'ala Ali Majmain say that we saw Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam move a step or two forward. And we saw him reach out with his hand towards something. While in the Salah, he took a step or two in front and he reached out with his hand for something. We are behind him and we are observing this. And then suddenly we saw that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has taken a few steps back. After the Salat, we said, we observed you today doing something which we have not observed you doing before in Salat. They would question Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because there was a possibility that a new command has come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and this particular salah is to be performed in this manner. So they would question Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whilst I was performing salah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened all the veils and in this world, that means Allah had removed all the veil between me and Jahannam, between me and Jannah. And where this wall is, I saw Jannat. Where this wall is, I saw Jahannam. That is how close Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought Jahannam and Jannat to me. And in one narration we find that when he observed Jahannam, he did not only step back. With his hands, he was doing this with his hand and he was turning his face away. Because the fire, the flames were right in front of him. So he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened the veils between me and Jahannam. When you saw me move back, I was looking at Jahannam. And when you saw me move forward, I was looking at Jannah. And when you saw me reaching out for something, I was reaching out for a bunch of grapes. Bunch of grapes was right in front of me. But because the ni'mats of Jannah cannot be acquired in this world, so Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was not permitted to bring that bunch of grapes. He said that it was my desire to get hold of that bunch of grapes and give it to you. He said, if I was able to do that, that only one bunch of grapes, it is full of such barakah that the people would have continued eating until the day of judgment. That is the difference between this world and Jannah. This is the difference between this world and Jahannam. The punishment in Jahannam is everlasting and the ni'mats of Jannat are everlasting. So that is something which is everlasting. If I had brought it, it would have remained forever. A person would have taken one grape, another would have took its place. Another person would have taken a grape, another would have grown on its place. It would have just continued, multiplying. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam was able to observe and hear what ordinary human beings cannot. But despite being able to observe and hear those things which ordinary human beings are unable to, physically and spiritually both, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so strong, physically, spiritually and mentally, that despite seeing all these things, he lived a normal life. After seeing Jahannam, he lived a normal life. After seeing Jannah, he lived a normal life. After seeing Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam in his original form, he lived a normal life. After seeing the punishment of the grave, he lived a normal life. There is a long hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was taken on a journey by Jibreel and Mikail alayhi salatu wasalam, and he saw this punishment and that punishment, and after seeing various punishments, he said that you have made me move around all night, at least explain to me what's happening. So they explained everything. That the person you saw being punished in this manner is this person. The person you saw being punished in this manner is that person who commits this sin. This was the strength that was given to our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and all the Anbiya alayhi wa sallatu wa sallam by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If an ordinary human being was to see something extraordinary whilst driving on the motorway, if a person was to observe that there are no cars behind me, there are no cars in front of me, there is no locality on my right, there is no locality on my left, and I am alone, and if suddenly everything becomes dark, because it's going to rain, suddenly everything becomes dark, he would feel frightened. Something abnormal. When we see something, we feel frightened. We want people to be around us. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam was a Nabi. He was the Sayyid of the Anbiya alayhi wa sallatu wa sallam. So nothing affected him. Because he would observe those things that we are unable to observe. Because he would hear those things which we are unable to hear. He said, لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ مَا أَعْلَمْ. If you knew what I know, if you could hear what I am able to hear, if you could see what I am able to see. When a person is passing away, you can only see the dying person. But I can see the dying person and the malaika who are coming to extract his ruh. You can only see the grave. I can see what is happening in the grave. You have not seen Jahannam. You have only heard bits and pieces regarding Jahannam from me. But I have seen Jahannam. If you could see what I have seen, and if you could hear what I have heard, you would have laughed less and cried more. You would have abandoned sleeping with your wives and enjoying with them. You would have left the luxuries of the city life, of the town life, and you would have gone into deserts. You would have gone into jungles. And you would have concentrated only on one thing. How can I save myself from the punishment that I have seen at the time of death? The punishment that I have seen in the grave. The punishment that I have seen on the day of Qiyamah. The punishment that I have seen in Jahannam. How can I save? That would be your only concern. In this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is emphasizing this point. That because the scenes of the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are hidden from you, you should not become neglectful. You should talk about death. You should talk about the grave. You should talk about the day of Qiyamah. You should contemplate that a day is going to come when I will depart from this world. A day is going to come when I will have to pass through the station of death, pass through the station of grave, pass through the station of the day of Qiyamah, pass through the station of Hisab, pass through the station of Pulsirat. Maybe, may Allah save all of us, pass through the station of Jahannam. And who knows, if we are not careful, that may be our last station, forever and ever. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is encouraging us to worry about the hereafter. Worry about the hereafter. We need to balance ourselves. Because our Sharia says, La rahbaniyata fil Islam. A person leaves everything. A person leaves the family, wife, children, business, good food, home. He goes into a cave and he worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only, no. Live in the world and benefit from the favors and ne'mats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without forgetting the giver of the ne'mat. Remember the giver of the ne'mat and forget the ne'mats, that is one extreme. Remember the giver of the ne'mats and forget the ne'mats altogether. I don't want anything to do with the ne'mats. This is one extreme. And the other extreme is that you indulge in the ne'mat so much that you forget the giver of the ne'mat. No, you benefit from the ne'mats that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted you without forgetting the giver of the ne'mat. And whenever there is a clash between enjoyment from a ne'mat and the giver of the ne'mat, always give priority to the giver of the ne'mat. This is all Allah wants from us. Allah ta'ala says, هو الذي خلق لكم ما في الأرض جميعا. It is Allah who has created everything for you on this earth. فأنتم أشد خلقا أم السماء بناها رفع سمكها فسواها وأغطش ليلها وأخرج ضحاها والأرض بعد ذلك دحاها أخرج منها ماءها ومرعاها والجبال أرساها. Allah mentions everything that He has created for us, and thereafter He says, مَتَعَلْ لَكُمْ وَلِأَنْعَامِكُمْ. All this is for you and your cattle. I have created everything for you. یہ کھیتیاں سرسبز ہیں تیری غذا کے واسطے, یہ چاند سورج اور ستارے ہیں ضیاء کے واسطے, یہ سارا جہاں تیرے لیے اور تو ہے خدا کے واسطے. These farms, these orchards, they are all for you. The sun, the moon, the stars, they are all for you. Allah has created the sun, the moon, the stars, the oceans, the trees, everything for our service, the animals for our service. Sara jahan tere liye, the whole world is for you. But you are for Allah. Tu hai khuda ke waste. So everything should remain subservient to you. And you should remain subservient to Allah only. But when a person forgets the giver of the ne'mat, he becomes subservient to all those things that were supposed to be subservient to him. Gold becomes the god and he becomes the slave. Silver becomes god and he becomes slave. Because now he is sacrificing everything for gold. He is sacrificing everything for silver. He is sacrificing everything for dinar, for dirham, for pound, for dollar. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لُعِنَ عَبْدُ الدِّنَارِ وَلُعِنَ عَبْدُ الدِّرْهَمِ. When a person reaches this stage where he becomes subservient to the ni'mat and he becomes talib, he becomes the seeker of the ni'mat, and the ni'mat becomes God for him. He worships this ni'mat. All I want is this. And he exerts all efforts, all his strength, all his energy towards acquiring that item only. He becomes the servant. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, such a person is cursed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because such a person has forgotten the giver of the ni'mat and he has made ni'mat the objective. How can ni'mat be the objective? The giver of the ni'mat is the objective. So friends, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لو تعلمون ما أعلم. If you knew what I know, لضحكتم قليلا ولا بكيتم كثيرا. You would have laughed less, cried more. Laughed less means you would have laughed enjoying the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remaining within shari boundaries. And you would have cried more remembering. You would have cried more remembering the station of death, the station of the grave, the station of the day of Qiyamah, resurrection, the station of the hisab, reckoning, the station of Pulsirat, the station of Jahannam. So in this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is encouraging us to be moderate in indulging in the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he is encouraging that we need to cry more and laugh less. That means we need to worry about the hereafter more than this world. We need to work hard more for the hereafter than this world. فَلِيَضْحَكُوا قَلِيرًا وَلْيَبْكُوا كَثِيرًا. We should laugh more and cry less. And as I said earlier, we will only be able to do this if we keep our focus on death. We need to talk about death, we need to read about death, we need to hear about death, we need to go to the graveyard and visit the graveyard. We need to contemplate, sit down and contemplate, a time is going to come when I will depart, when I will be shrouded, when I will be bathed, when I will be shrouded, when I will be carried to the Kabrastan, when my Salatul Janaza will be performed, and then I will be carried to the grave. I will be lowered in the grave. I will be buried in the grave. People will leave me in the grave alone, in the darkness of the grave, and leave for their homes. And I will be left alone to deal with the angels, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I will be resurrected. I will be reckoned for each and every second of my life. And if I fail, I will have to go in the fire of Jahannam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa al-aqibatu lil-muttaqeen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulihi sayyidina wa maulana Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا اغفر لنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك. يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك. اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة. اللهم ارحمني بترك المعاصي أبدا ما أبقيتني. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى واجعل آخرتنا خيرا من الأولى. اللهم زيننا بزينة الإيمان واجعلنا هداة مهتدين. اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. اللهم اجعل حركاتنا وسكناتنا كلها في محبتك وتقواك. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين برحمته.